Hey everyone, it's Russ, and welcome to our next episode of the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight. Excited today to be joined by Josh Barron. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, my pleasure, Russ.
Yeah, why don't you start us off, Josh, by just taking a moment and kind of introducing yourself and telling our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Josh Barron. I'm a financial advisor. The name of my DBA is JMB Financial. I'm affiliated with LPL, but I joined Wealthcare almost a year ago now.
Great. And where are you based, Josh?
I'm based in Troy, Michigan.
Troy, Michigan. So what's the weather up there right now?
You know, it's a typical Michigan spring. So that means it was 65 2 days ago and it was 18 degrees yesterday. So that's just how it goes.
Holy cow.
All over the place.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get more of a real spring here sooner than later.
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's coming.
Good. So again, glad you could join us today. Why don't you, following up that introduction, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of what you do and why you do it and who you do it for?
Sure. Well, you know, I look at my value proposition for my clients as helping people make smart decisions with their money. I do it for all sorts of clients of different ages and backgrounds, but you know, probably my typical or most of my clients fall in between the ages of around 55 and 75. We help them invest money. And we utilize the Wealthcare resources to help them with some goal-based planning and tax-efficient investing.
That's great. Well, it sounds like you and I actually share some similarities there between the types of clients we serve and what we do for them. We'll talk about a little bit later in the conversation is the role Wealthcare plays. But thanks for sharing that. How long have you been serving as a financial advisor, Josh?
It's been 18 years now.
Really? So what led you into the advisory career?
So that's kind of a complicated journey, but I originally had planned to go into financial consulting back when I was in undergraduate, and I got a degree in finance. And then I ended up going to law school and practicing law for a short time in Chicago, didn't really care for it. So I ultimately kind of fell backwards into a job with Arthur Andersen, and I was doing tax consulting for them with a focus on large corporations and high net worth individuals, which was fine. And it had, I gained a lot from those experiences, but ultimately I wanted to be more entrepreneurial. I wanted to work with, people that I had more of a connection to and really wanted to work for myself. So for kind of a whole host of reasons, I kind of started making the migration over to the financial advising space.
Great. Well, yeah, that is kind of an interesting journey, but it's always interesting to talk to advisors and see kind of how they landed where they are today. And I'm sure you're experience as both an attorney and working at Arthur Andersen probably inform a lot of how you think about and look at serving clients today.
It does actually, because I mean, one of the things about working at Arthur Andersen was everything was so very specialized. And, you know, when I started working with individual clients and focusing on wealth management, I guess I felt that I knew what I didn't know. You know, I had a legal background, so I knew a little bit about estate planning, and I had a little bit of a tax background, so I knew a little bit about tax planning. But, you know, I don't hold myself out to be an estate planning expert or a tax consultant. I leave those to our strategic partners and really focus on the wealth management. And, you know, similarly, it's difficult in my mind to be all things to all people. So, you know, we've utilized institutional money managers really since the time that I started working to try and provide that kind of maybe a little bit more of a sophisticated investment approach to our clients that might've been lacking a little bit more back 18 years ago.
Yeah. Well, given what you've already shared with us, kind of your background and what you what you do and the types of clients you serve. This might seem like a similar question, but this podcast is, we call it Advisor Spotlight for a reason. It's all about showcasing you and the work that you do. So from your perspective, Josh, what do you consider unique about who you are, the types of clients you serve, and how you serve them? And I think you've already touched on some of this, but could you elaborate a little bit further?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I mean, one of the things that I would say is that sometimes it's not necessarily about being so different or reinventing the wheel that what I do is so dramatically different than what some other people do. Sometimes it's just about showing up, you know, making sure that you're always putting your clients' interests before your own self-interest, showing clients that you care, being responsive. I mean, these things sound silly, but it's surprising how many people in our industry don't really follow through with those things. So something as silly as picking up the phone and calling someone on their birthday goes a long way with a lot of people. So really that kind of personalized, I call it white glove service, making sure people feel important, that their needs are always being taken care of. And that's really what my focus has been. I tell prospective clients when we start working together that I'm not here to beat the S&P by 5% a year. That's not what I do. And frankly, if anyone says that they can do that, you know, good luck with it. But it's really more about just providing them with a high level of care and consideration and treating them with kindness. And it goes a long way because ultimately investment returns these days, you know, I kind of touched on it before. To me, it is becoming more of a commodity. You know, we're all looking at the same thing. And it doesn't really matter whether you're at an investment bank or a large independent broker dealer. You know, the research groups are all analyzing the same data. So the investment plans tend to look similar. So I think if you know, I never viewed my value proposition as differentiating myself by returns or trying to pretend like somehow we had answers that other people didn't have. It was more about being there for people in a way that they can trust and helping them understand, you know what's going on. And I guess, you know, part of that is, I think, is telling people what they need to hear, not always necessarily what they want to hear.
Well, I think that's interesting that you rely on, to use my own words, just being a nice human being. I think you're right. I think that does go a long way, especially as the general state of client and customer service seems to continue to deteriorate across all industries. Could you give us a little an idea, Josh, of your business as it stands today, like in terms of how many families you serve or approximately how many assets you have or any other metrics that kind of illustrate how you think about your business?
Sure. So I work with about 200 clients and cover about $200 million in assets under management. Of those, currently about $125 million are in the fee-based space. And there's about, you know, roughly maybe $75 million or so outside of fee-based management. I also do a fair amount of work in the 401k space at the corporate level. So we have about, I work with about 10 401k plans, you know, that range in size from $15 million down to, you know, there are some small ones in there too, down around 500,000 or so. That's kind of the client makeup. You know, well, that's another thing. When I was kind of envisioning what my business would be like, I never wanted to be, not that there's anything wrong with it, it just wasn't what I wanted for myself or my business. I didn't strive to have 2,000 clients. I never wanted that. I wanted a smaller set of the right clients that I could have deeper relationships with. And, you know, to a large extent, I think I've been able to achieve that. You know, over the years, it's not every client is the ideal client, but hopefully most of them are, you know, or more of them are closer to that than not.
Got it. So serving your 200 families or so, tell us a little bit about your structure. Is it just you? Do you have any support staff, any other advisors that you work with to serve these clients?
Yeah. So I have three assistants. that support me. And we have another wealth advisor in our office. And we do work on some of our clients together. So in other words, if I have some maybe smaller clients or people that I would rather not devote my time to, then I would bring in the other wealth advisor and we would sort of partner on it, where I would tend to kind of get things set up and rolling and then kind of pass it over and allow the other advisor to handle a lot of the kind of the client touch, if you will, because I just get spread too thin. And that other advisor has a assistant as well. So do you want me to get into more detail about the roles of each of the three people that work directly with me?
Actually, if you want to take like just a little bit and just briefly kind of tell us a little bit about each of those people and kind of the role they serve, that'd be helpful.
Okay. So, you know, when I started building my practice, you know, first it was just me and then I had someone part-time. But as it got more substantial, I hired someone that was securities licensed, actually an ex-financial advisor that didn't like the selling and the, you know, the prospecting and those kinds of things. So this woman had a kind of a technical skill base that was helpful and has been with me now for like 15 years. So she handles a lot of more of the technical aspects of things. If I want, you know, funds to be researched or, you know, do some digging on that kind of a thing. So more of a technical kind of background that really helps me. My sort of focus, Russ, is to essentially pass off anything I can that's not specifically client related. So in other words, I view my job is to service clients and bring in clients and, you know, deepen relationships with clients, but I don't want to do any of the administrative work related to that. So she helps with a lot of that. And then I have another individual that does a lot of, you know, everyone knows how much paperwork is involved in our business. So she helps with a lot of that, but also a little bit more client contact, reaching out to clients, you know, checking up on things. And then a third person, again, that just cranks out paperwork, administratively follows up on things. So again, once I kind of pass the ball, I know that I have a good team of people that are handling it, so I can move on to my next thing. And if I need to get back involved, I do. Otherwise, I know that they're handling it.
Wow. Well, that's great. Sounds like you've built a business that allows you to really focus on the things that you enjoy most and the things that you're uniquely suited to do and add the most value in. So that's fantastic. Of your 200 or so families, Josh, thinking back over the last maybe few years, what's a favorite client success story that comes to mind for you?
Oh, wow. I should have read that outline first. You know, I personally find it very rewarding when you sit down with people that feel like I waited too long to get started, or I've never had any success investing, and I don't even know what the point is. And you're able to have a successful outcome where, you know, you just show them over time with patience and making better decisions, they can gradually, you know, start moving towards their goals. So I'm not sure that I have a specific client coming to mind at this moment as I sit here, but I know there are several that say, you know, wow, I really, to me, the biggest reward in that regard is just when someone says to you, you know, wow, I really appreciate everything you've done. I never thought I'd be in this position. It feels really great. Thank you. Me and my family appreciate everything you do. I mean, to me, that's worth, you know, more than anything.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I think that actually does paint a pretty clear picture of the value you add and the role that you play in not just one client's life, but all your clients' lives. So thanks for sharing that. You've talked a lot, you've shared with us kind of who you serve and what you do for them. What would you say, Josh, is the biggest challenge that you find yourself helping people address or solve when it comes to their financial planning, their investment portfolios, or their financial lives?
I mean, I'd say it's the emotional impact You know, a lot of times in, as a financial advisor, we act as, you know, essentially therapists or counselors. We saw it a lot. I mean, in 2020, of course, because of COVID, but I would say even more so because of politics, you know, trying to talk my right-leaning clients off the edge when, you know, Biden or Obama win, and try and talk my left-leaning clients off the edge when, you know, Trump wins, and try and explain to them that, you know, ultimately it's probably a lot more about how many iPhones Apple sells than it is about who's in the White House. Not that they don't have an impact, but, you know, never underestimate corporate America. You know, the U.S. economy has continued to surprise for the upside, you know, really forever. So trying to take the emotion out of the decision-making process and help people focus on facts rather than feelings, I say, is one of our biggest challenges and value adds.
And so sort of a related but a little bit different question, what has surprised you most about your work over the years as an advisor?
You know, I might say what surprises me the most is how much has changed and yet how little has changed. You know, there was a lot of concern for years about robo-advisors. Those are still concerns. There's concerns over artificial intelligence and how that will impact all industries, including our own. We have been through, you know, I've only been doing this 18 years. So compared to a lot of people, that's not a particularly long time, but we've lived through financial crises and, you know, now COVID, and the list goes on and on. But at the end of the day, you know, the world markets tend to continue building and moving forward. And the same themes seem to play out over and over again. As cliche as it is about, you know, buying low and selling high, you know, most people do the opposite. And it's hard to believe when you read those Dalbar studies and others. But 20 years ago, people are still doing it today. So it's amazing how human behavior hasn't changed too much, even as much as technology has changed in such rapid ways. It just seems like things happen quicker now.
Actually, I think that's a great observation. It's amazing that as we all experience the increasingly rapid rate of change, how much a lot of things ultimately stay the same. So I think you're exactly right. And I think that's a unique perspective. So thanks for sharing that. I'll be interested to get your perspective on this. So let's say, Josh, that a college student approached you about becoming a financial advisor. What advice or guidance would you give to him or her?
Back to what I was talking about a second ago, when you talk about, you know, AI, I personally find it terrifying. I don't know if a college student came to me and said, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer, what I'd say either. I mean, who knows what kind of jobs are going to be available in the future? I mean, and, you know, since about, not at this moment, but eventually, since pretty much all jobs will be able to be done by artificial intelligence, I guess what I would say is that at least up until now, it's become clear that even with technology and artificial intelligence, people still need relationships and human contact, and they're still looking for guidance. So ironically, there were people who I spoke with, you know, maybe 10 years ago that felt like, you know, the tools are all available. You know, all the information is out there for all of us to get. So we don't have any, you know, any secrets that most people don't have. We just help them sort through it and understand what's real and what's not, and make sense of it all. But I've had people that, you know, 10 years ago had told me that, you know, they're investing on their own, and that the tools and technology are all there. Maybe they're even with a robo advisor. But interestingly, as they get older and as they age and technology improves, they end up deciding, you know what, we really do need to work with someone. And maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's because if something happens to me, I want to know that my spouse is protected. Or maybe it's because, you know, I don't have the time or the inclination anymore. But I think a lot of it is just realizing that, you know, the world has become increasingly complex, and having a guide to help you understand what's real and what's not and help you make good decisions probably has some value, even though the actual money management of it could, you know, probably be replaced by a robot, as we've seen some people decide to do.
Yeah, interesting. So yeah, so thanks for that. As we kind of start to wrap up the conversation today, Josh, if there were one thing other advisors who maybe listen to this could take away from our conversation, if you could leave them with one singular idea or one nugget, what would you want that one thing to be?
You know, I think regardless of what business you're in the business of yourself. You know, we're all selling ourselves, whether you are a financial advisor or, you know, you work at General Motors. It doesn't really matter. We're selling ourselves, and more so than our services, because our services can be offered by anybody. So I think having that personal connection to the people you work with and the people you work for and your strategic partners and the relationships goes a really long way in whatever field you happen to be in. And financial advising to me is no different. That's what people really want to know. It's, you know, again, after 18 years, I would say one of the constants is, can I trust you? Are you going to help me make good choices? Are you going to be there for me when I need you? And I think that's true of any business, and ours is certainly no exception. So I just think the idea of, again, showing up goes a lot further than people may realize.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly don't disagree with you there. How would you say WealthCare has helped you and your clients over the last year or so that you've been working with the firm?
Yeah, I think it's been a really great transition, and I hit on it just really briefly earlier. But to me, when you look at money management becoming more commoditized, changing the value proposition and the conversation a little bit to some of the tax alpha type strategies, the concept of householding that WealthCare uses, which I think is incredibly powerful. Again, incorporating that with the goal-based planning, the customization of the portfolios, I think is extremely helpful and something I wasn't able to offer before, at least not on the institutional level where, you know, there's a institutional manager making decisions, but we have a client that wants to hold over certain positions because they are highly appreciated, for example, or they just, you know, want to own a little bit of this one thing and being able to incorporate those into otherwise centrally managed models. Those kinds of things I think are very valuable, and they help me to differentiate myself. So yes, I think it's helping my clients, but it's also dramatically helping my ability to convert prospects to clients. You know, it used to be we'd sit down and I'd talk a lot about the things I've talked about today, but, you know, even though some are better at delivering than others, everyone says the same thing, you know, we're going to be here for you and everything else. But now when I sit down with a client who's working at an investment bank, they say, what are you going to do that's different? And I put a tax alpha report in front of them. And I don't do a whole lot of third-party collateral when I'm talking with people. I prefer to have more of a, you know, generic conversation. But when you can actually quantify and show them, look, this is what you're doing right now, and here's a way that we can show you, save you X amount of dollars over X amount of years by tax location, just as one example, it's very powerful. And I think it's been a really big help for me and my business in terms of converting people. And as far as existing clients, they're starting to see the benefits of it, but it's, you know, just kind of starting to show because they've only been through one tax year and it was a big transition last year and everything else.
Right, right. So, so we've talked a lot today about kind of your history and how you kind of came to be an advisor today and working as an attorney and Arthur Andersen. We've talked a lot about what you're doing today and the advice you're delivering and the families that you're serving. Let's spin things a little bit differently and look forward. So let's say 5 years from now, Josh, where do you want to be as a financial advisor and in running your practice if you look out 5 years from today?
So, you know, I think about that all the time. So again, it's kind of a loaded answer. So depending how deep you want to get into my psyche, but for the most part, I hope nothing changes. I know that sounds strange. I mean, I'd like to continue to build the business and see the growth that we've had. Maybe even narrow down the client base further, potentially. I'd like to continue what has been going on over the last year or longer, where I'm able to work more remotely. I would love to be able to personally be, you know, somewhere in South America. And then we were just talking about the weather here, but I wouldn't mind being in, you know, Argentina in January one winter with my laptop, which essentially these days, everything is cloud-based for me, is, you know, just another office and it's in the same time zone. So, or at least close enough to it where I can, you know, I can continue to work and get the support from my team, but, you know, travel and kind of expand my personal life a little bit in that way. So I'd like to be more remote if possible. I don't know. It's going to depend on the industry, of course, and if the industry, you know, how much it changes. But if things stay the way they are and our growth path remains the way it is, then I do foresee me working remotely and traveling the world, not, you know, 12 months a year, but maybe 1 or 2 months in the winter, maybe 1 or 2 months in the summer, you know, working, you know, rolling up the sleeves and really getting after it more 8 months of the year and kind of filling in the gaps in between. That would be sort of a dream scenario for me personally. I'm not sure how personal you meant to get in that answer, but that's what I think about.
No, that's perfect. I mean, I asked the question because I wanted to know. So I appreciate you opening up and sharing all that. That sounds like an exciting future to work towards. So we'll have to maybe do a part two down the road and see what kind of progress you're making along that path.
Part two from Patagonia.
There you go. Part two from Patagonia. That has a nice ring to it. As we're actually wrapping up the conversation today, Josh, any final thoughts, anything kind of closing that you'd like to make sure that you share with people that are listening to this?
I don't know that I necessarily have any closing remarks or final thoughts other than just say that, you know, again, these things develop over time. And, you know, if you work hard and you treat people well, the reward should come back to you.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. Josh, what's, for those that are interested, what's the best way for people to learn more about you, your practice, to maybe get in touch with you if they maybe want to reach out and learn a little bit more?
Sure. Well, you can always look at our website, which is jmbfinancial.com. You have our contact information on that for both email and telephone if anyone would like to reach us.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Josh, for taking some time and sharing with us today. I think this has been a great conversation. I know our advisors and others will enjoy learning a little bit more about you and your practice and how you're serving your clients and the role that WealthCare plays. And for everyone out there listening, thank you again for joining us for another episode of Advisor Spotlight. And we'll look forward to catching up with you again next time. So thanks again, Josh.
My pleasure. Thanks for the time.